Welcome to episode 146 of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. My name is Steve Webb and I'm your host. Today we'll read Deuteronomy chapter 22, Acts chapter 8, and Psalm 68 from the God's Word Translation. Deuteronomy chapter 22. If you see another Israelite's ox or sheep out where it doesn't belong, don't pretend that you don't see it. Make sure you take it back. If the owner doesn't live near you or you don't know who owns it, take the animal home with you. Keep it until the owner comes looking for it. Then give it back. Do the same if you find a donkey, some clothes, or anything else that another Israelite may have lost. Don't pretend that you don't know what to do. If you see another Israelite's donkey or ox lying on the ground, don't pretend that you don't see it. Make sure you help him get back on his feet. A woman must never wear anything men would wear, and a man must never wear women's clothes. Whoever does this is disgusting to the Lord your God. Whenever you're traveling and find a nest containing chicks or eggs, this is what you must do. If the mother bird is sitting on the nest, never take her with the chicks. You may take the chicks, but make sure you let the mother go. Then things will go well for you and you will live a long time. Whenever you build a new house, put a railing around the edge of the roof. Then you won't be responsible for a death at your home if someone falls off the roof. Never plant anything between the rows of your vineyard. Otherwise, you will have to give everything that grows there to the holy place. This includes the crop you planted and the grapes from the vineyard. Never plow with an ox and a donkey harnessed together. Never wear clothes made of wool and linen woven together. Make tassels on the four corners of the shawl you wear over your clothes. A man might marry a woman, sleep with her, and decide he doesn't like her. Then he might make up charges against her and ruin her reputation by saying, "I married this woman, but when I slept with her, I found out she wasn't a virgin." The girl's father and mother must go to the city gate where the leaders of the city are and submit the evidence that their daughter was a virgin. The girl's father will tell the leaders, "I gave my daughter in marriage to this man, but he doesn't like her. Now he's made up charges against her. He says he found out that my daughter wasn't a virgin, but here's the evidence." Then the girl's parents must spread out the cloth in front of the leaders of the city. The leaders of that city must take the man and punish him. They will fine him 2.25 pounds of silver and give it to the girl's father. The husband ruined the reputation of an Israelite virgin. She will continue to be his wife, and he can never divorce her as long as he lives. But if the charge is true, and no evidence that the girl was a virgin can be found, they must take the girl to the entrance of her father's house. The men of her city must stone her to death because she has committed such a godless act in Israel. She had sex before marriage while she was still living in her father's house. You must get rid of this evil. If a man is caught having sexual intercourse with a married woman, both that man and the woman must die. You must get rid of this evil in Israel. This is what you must do when a man has sexual intercourse with a virgin who is engaged to another man. If this happens in a city, take them to the gate of the city and stone them to death. The girl must die because she was in a city and didn't scream for help. The man must die because he had sex with another man's wife. You must get rid of this evil. But if a man rapes an engaged girl out in the country, then only the man must die. Don't do anything to the girl. She has not committed a sin for which she deserves to die. This is like the case of someone who attacks and murders another person. The man found the girl out in the country. She may have screamed for help, but no one was there to rescue her. This is what you must do when a man rapes a virgin who isn't engaged. When the crime is discovered, the man who had sexual intercourse with her must give the girl's father 1.25 pounds of silver, and she will become his wife. Since he raped her, he can never divorce her as long as he lives. A man must never marry his father's wife because this would disgrace his father. Acts chapter 8. Saul approved of putting Stephen to death. On that day, widespread persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. Most believers, except the apostles, were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Devout men buried Stephen as they mourned loudly for him. Saul tried to destroy the church. He dragged men and women out of one home after another and threw them into prison. The believers who were scattered went from place to place where they spread the word. Philip went to the city of Samaria and told people about the Messiah. The crowds paid close attention to what Philip said. They listened to him and saw the miracles that he performed. Evil spirits screamed as they came out of the many people they had possessed. Many paralyzed and lame people were cured. As a result, that city was extremely happy. A man named Simon lived in that city. He amazed the people of Samaria with his practice of magic. He claimed that he was great. Everyone, from children to adults, paid attention to him. They said, "This man is the power of God, and that power is called great." They paid attention to Simon because he had amazed them for a long time with his practice of magic. However, when Philip spread the good news about the kingdom of God and the one named Jesus Christ, men and women believed him and were baptized. Even Simon believed, and after he was baptized, he became devoted to Philip. Simon was amazed to see the miracles and impressive things that were happening. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the Samaritans had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Peter and John went to Samaria and prayed that the Samaritans would receive the Holy Spirit. Before this, the Holy Spirit had not come to any of the Samaritans. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and the Samaritans received the Holy Spirit. Simon saw that the Spirit was given to the Samaritans when the apostles placed their hands on them. So he offered Peter and John money and said, "Give me this power so that anyone I place my hands on will receive the Holy Spirit." Peter told Simon, "May your money be destroyed with you because you thought you could buy God's gift. You won't have any share in this because God can see how twisted your thinking is. So change your wicked thoughts and ask the Lord if he will forgive you for thinking like this. I can see that you are bitter with jealousy and wrapped up in your evil ways." Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me that none of these things you said will happen to me." After they had boldly spoken about the message of the Lord, they spread the good news in many Samaritan villages on their way back to Jerusalem. An angel from the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and take the desert road that goes south from Jerusalem to Gaza." So Philip went. An Ethiopian man who had come to Jerusalem to worship was on his way home. The man was a eunuch, a high-ranking official in charge of all the treasures of Queen Candace of Ethiopia. As the official rode along in his carriage, he was reading the prophet Isaiah out loud. The Spirit said to Philip, "Go to that carriage and stay close to it." Philip ran to the carriage and could hear the official reading the prophet Isaiah out loud. Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The official answered, "How can I understand unless someone guides me?" So he invited Philip to sit with him in his carriage. This was the part of the scriptures that the official was reading. "He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. He was like a sheep that is silent when its wool is cut off. He didn't open his mouth. When he humbled himself, he was not judged fairly. Who from this generation will talk about his life on earth being cut short?" The official said to Philip, "I would like to know who the prophet is talking about. Is he talking about himself or someone else?" Then Philip spoke. Starting with that passage, Philip told the official the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. The official said to Philip, "Look, there's some water. What can keep me from being baptized?" The official ordered the carriage to stop. He and Philip stepped into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they had stepped out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. The official joyfully continued on his way and didn't see Philip again. Philip found himself in the city of Azotus. He traveled through all the cities and spread the good news until he came to the city of Caesarea. Psalms chapter 68. God will arise. His enemies will be scattered. Those who hate him will flee from him. Blow them away like smoke. Let wicked people melt in God's presence like wax next to a fire. But let righteous people rejoice. Let them rejoice in God's presence. Let them overflow with joy. Sing to God. Make music to praise his name. Make a highway for him to ride through the deserts. The Lord is his name. Celebrate in his presence. The God who is in his holy dwelling place is the father of the fatherless and the defender of widows. God places lonely people in families. He leads prisoners out of prison into productive lives, but rebellious people must live in an unproductive land. O God, when you went in front of your people, when you marched through the desert, the earth quaked, and the sky poured in the presence of the God of Sinai, in the presence of the God of Israel. You watered the land with plenty of rain, O God. You refreshed it when your land was exhausted. Your flock settled there. Out of your goodness, O God, you provided for oppressed people. The Lord gives instructions. The women who announce the good news are a large army. They say, "The kings of the armies flee. They run away. The women who remained at home will divide the goods. Though you stayed among the sheep pens, you will be like the wings of a dove covered with silver, its feathers with yellow gold." Meanwhile, the Almighty was still scattering kings there like snow falling on Mount Zalmon. The mountain of Bashan is the mountain of God. The mountain of Bashan is the mountain with many peaks. Why do you look with envy, you mountains with many peaks, at the mountain where God has chosen to live? Certainly the Lord will live there forever. The chariots of God are 20,000 in number, thousands upon thousands. The Lord is among them. The God of Sinai is in his holy place. You went to the highest place. You took prisoners captive. You received gifts from people, even from rebellious people, so that the Lord God may live there. Thanks be to the Lord who daily carries our burdens for us. God is our salvation. Selah. Our God is the God of victories. The Almighty Lord is our escape from death. Certainly God will crush the heads of his enemies and destroy even the hair on the heads of those who continue to be guilty. The Lord said, "I will bring them back from Bashan. I will bring them back from the depths of the sea so that you, my people, may bathe your feet in blood, and the tongues of your dogs may lick the blood of your enemies." Your festival processions, O God, can be seen by everyone. They are the processions for my God, my King, into the holy place. The singers are in front, the musicians are behind them, the young women beating tambourines are between them. Thank God, the Lord, the source of Israel, with the choirs. Benjamin, the youngest, is leading them. Next, the leaders of Judah, with their noisy crowds. Then, the leaders of Zebulun. Then, the leaders of Naphtali. Your God has decided you will be strong. Display your strength, O God, as you have for us before. Kings will bring you gifts because of your temple high above Jerusalem. Threaten the beast who is among the cattails, the herd of bulls with the calves of the nations, until it humbles itself with pieces of silver. Scatter the people who find joy in war. Ambassadors will come from Egypt. Sudan will stretch out its hands to God in prayer. You kingdoms of the world, sing to God. Make music to praise the Lord. Selah. God rides through the ancient heaven, the highest heaven. Listen, he makes his voice heard, his powerful voice. Acknowledge the power of God. His majesty is over Israel, and his power is in the skies. God, the God of Israel, is awe-inspiring in his holy place. He gives strength and power to his people. Thanks be to God. May God bless the reading of his word. Well, happy Friday to you. I hope it's been a good week for you. Today's psalm was written by David, and it was certainly a song of praise to God and his mighty power. When was the last time you spent time sincerely praising God for who he is and the things he's done? It's a wonderful way to reach out to him as an expression of love and gratitude. Do you have plans for the weekend? We're heading into the holiday season. Do you have any traditions for this time of year? My wife, the lovely Lady Leanne, will probably be bringing out the autumn decorations for the house this weekend. And we even did a bit of early Christmas shopping today. Shh, don't tell the grandkids. And don't forget, there will be some news from LifeSpring Media as we get closer to the 9th anniversary of the first LifeSpring show. If you haven't signed up on the email list, I suggest you do so right away before you forget. Just go to LifeSpringMedia.com and you can't miss the sign-up form there on the right-hand side of the page. I'll see you tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.